Well, Lord, we thank you so much that we can come before you. We thank you for being able to praise you with music and songs in our hearts and to worship you. We thank you for helping us to be your hands and feet, Lord, through things like Angel Tree, through things like showing up and through helping and volunteering and serving people. What a blessing it is to be your sons and daughters. And we thank you that today that you would speak to us, Lord, through your word and through the things that you have for this message today. We just pray that you would be glorified in it all. Lord, let our hearts be open to you like a seed bed that's just ready to receive good seed that's tilled up and softened. Lord, where there might be hardness, would you soften us up today? So we bless you, we love you, we worship you in Jesus' name. Somebody said, amen. Amen. So, you know, this week, as I was preparing for this message, this word kept kind of coming to me. This word, behold. Behold. And up here we see the name of the message. Behold, the Lamb of God. You know, this is really a time of year for us. Obviously, this upcoming week is Thanksgiving, and we live in a country where we celebrate Thanksgiving. It's pretty cool that we actually have a holiday geared around giving thanks and being grateful and being thankful. And I know there's a lot of sordid history with Thanksgiving and the foundation of this country, but if we can look past that, all of that for a minute and realize it is a good thing to be thankful. It's a good thing to be a thankful people. And so we have so much to be thankful for. And obviously we're coming up here on the time when we celebrate the Jesus, our Messiah, coming through Christmas. And it's also Hanukkah, the season of Festival of Lights. And we celebrate the miracles of God. It's really a time of year for us to be thankful and grateful. And again, I want to just say thanks to Pastor Phil Abeda, who preached here a couple weeks ago. Wasn't that a great message? Yeah, that was so good. He did such a great job. And Gavinsky, thank you for blessing us last week with the message. It was amazing. Still thinking about those things that you shared with us with growing in the Lord. And so thank you guys. And again, this is a time for us, this time of year for us to be thankful, to be grateful. But there's this word that kind of kept on popping up to my mind and popping up to my memory. And this is a word that's used a lot in the Bible and the scriptures. Behold. It's one of these words that, you know, we probably don't use a whole lot in kind of like our modern English, kind of like American vernacular. It's not like we're like, oh, behold, I need an oil change. I mean, some people might talk like that, but not a lot of people that I know. So behold is one of those words and those things. It's used a lot in scripture, but it's not something that we use a lot. And again, I really feel like the Lord was wanting to speak to us today about what it means to behold the Lord. You know, as we've kind of talked about, you guys probably know this congregation, we are kind of a dual expression. You know, we have a Jew and Gentile coming together in Messiah, and there's this beautiful blessing that's called the Shema. You know, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, right? This is out of Deuteronomy. And that Shema, that word to hear, we've talked about this before, to listen. Basically, in Hebrew, that word for hear doesn't mean just like perceive something with your ears. It means to hear it with your ears and then make it a life application. So hear doesn't just mean let something come into your ears. It means let it come in and do something about it. That's what it means to hear, O Israel. It's like listen and obey. Listen and have action. Let something come in to your ears and obey what it says. Now, this word behold is interesting because behold is basically kind of an equivalent to sight, to seeing, beholding something. So this idea of beholding in scriptures is basically this whole idea of don't just look at something with your eyes, look and gaze at it. Seek to understand it. Engage with it. Take a look deeper at it. Go deeper than just perceiving something. So it's that same idea of like Shema is to hear. Behold is to look and to gaze upon something. Wrap your mind around it. Contemplate it. Think about it. Gaze into it. Go deeper. In the scripture, one of these places that we look at this, this can be kind of an application. This would be from 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And it says this. This is John, the Apostle John, talking in this letter, and he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and now has appeared to us. We proclaim it to you, what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." So really, in the Greek language, in this that it was given in those scriptures, there's these two words that are here. One, that first one, that first verse, it's seen, right? So it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen. Now, that first word in Greek, I'm going to probably butcher my Greek, but horeo, is this word. Basically, it means to put your physical eyesight on something. Like, I saw that car pass by. It's kind of like if I'm sitting in this sanctuary and we're looking over, oh, I see those stained glass windows. I see that speaker. I see this microphone over here. It's just kind of like I'm observing, I'm taking something in with my eyes. And we know that the Apostle John, he's talking from a first-person perspective. He actually saw Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He was a disciple or a follower of Jesus, and he walked with him for around 3 years. We know that. So he's saying, basically, hey, I've seen Jesus with my own eyes. But the thing is, he doesn't just stop there, because a lot of people saw Jesus. A lot of people saw him passing by. Imagine Jesus walking around, and I don't know if you are a fan of that show called The Chosen. Some of us have seen that. That's a great show to check out if you're looking for something good to watch, a television show. It talks really about that, kind of like the Jesus with, you know, God with skin on. And he just seems kind of like a normal guy. You know, and the scripture tells us that there wasn't anything that like was super striking with his features, but he was here. So a lot of people saw him, just like you're seeing me or we see each other. But not everybody beheld him. Now, the second part of what John is talking about here in this verse, which we have seen with our eyes and which we have looked at. Can you put that first verse from 1 John 1 up again? So see, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked at. I saw him, but we didn't stop there. We looked at him. Now, this word in Greek here is different than that first word. The second word here in this phrase basically means to gaze upon, to take in, to drink in, to really look upon, to go deeper, and to seek with the heart, not just to see, but to understand. So beholding has this idea of not just seeing, but seeking to understand, seeking to know something or someone. John's talking about we have seen him and we have beheld him. We watched him. We studied him. We walked in his dust as he was walking along the way. We were right behind him. We were watching him interact with people. We were watching the way that he loved people and that his miracles were setting people free and the way that he was talking. We didn't just see him, but we beheld him. We gazed at him. We wanted to go deep with him. The purpose was to understand who he was and to know him. And listen, for us as believers of Jesus, the call is the same thing today. Gaze upon the Lord and behold him. It is the calling for the believer. We're not just to look at him. We're not just to sing songs about him or to glance at him. We're to gaze into his eyes. We're to study him. We're to try to seek to know everything about him that we can. We're called to be curious about him. We're called to be in love with him. In love with the Lord. This is the spiritual life that God wants from us. It's not just to gaze at him, to look at him. It's to glare at him. It's to spend time face to face with him. It's to know him in the ups and know him in the downs. Amen? In the mountains, in the valleys. It's to seek to understand him. Because a lot of people know about Jesus. But John was saying, no, we don't just know about Jesus. We're here to testify he is who he said he was. He is the risen Messiah. He is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He is love personified. He is God in the flesh. He is Jesus, the Messiah, the only true Son of God. Amen. John, again, in the Gospel of John 1:24-31 says this interesting thing. It kind of talks about, in talking about John the Baptist. Now, those who were sent from the Pharisees, there were some who were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or the Messiah or Elijah nor the prophet? So they're asking him, why is he baptizing people out there? And then John the Baptist answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you who you don't know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not even worthy to loose. These things were done in Beth Araba, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Then the next day, John saw Jesus. So again, he perceived Jesus, but he didn't just see him with his eyes. And what did he say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me. He was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing in water. So the John the Baptist is saying, behold. He said, don't just see a man, don't just see somebody, but gaze upon Jesus. Behold him. Take him in. Look at him. Know him. Study him. This is the Lamb of God who takes away all the sins of the world. This isn't just some guy. This isn't just some prophet. This is the Messiah. This is God incarnate, Jesus, the Messiah. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, look and understand. Go deeper. Go deeper than just seeing a man. Listen, it's not just see. It's open your eyes. To behold doesn't mean to see. It means open your eyes. It's like, hello, behold, hello, here I am. Open your eyes. Don't just look with your eyes. Perceive, behold, drink in, gaze upon, study. Go deep, go deep, go deeper. Open your eyes. Here I am. It's deep. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's not just a glance. It's curiosity. Do you ever get curious with the Lord? Do you ever just like, oh my gosh, God, how did you do all this? Do you ever just want to talk to him about life? God, what's going on here? How did you make these trees? You know, what did you do with this water? How do you keep all this stuff together, this amazing universe? I'm just in awe. That's beholding. Oh my gosh, this sacrifice that you so loved me before I loved you, that you gave your own life for mine so that I could be redeemed, so that I could be rescued, so I could be saved, so that what was wrong in my life with my sin could now be made right because of Jesus. Getting curious, beholding the Lamb of God that was slain for the sins of the world. There's this sense of wonder. and astonishment. Again, this is one of those things for us as just being humans, we can get wrapped up with life. We can get wrapped up and overwhelmed with stuff that happens. I'll be honest, I'm an offender like everybody else. Life hits you and you get gassed. You feel like you get knocked down, am I right? Life sometimes just feels like a sucker punches you. And sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, where's my strength? I feel like I don't have anything. And our eyes stop beholding the Lord. Our eyes start beholding something else. We start getting into the circumstances and the challenges and the rough stuff or the busyness or the concern or the fear or the doubt or the worry, name it, whatever it is we put in there, we start focusing more on that. And that's not the way that God wants us to live. He wants us to live with a sense of wonder and astonishment in the highs and in the lows. The sense of, I'm not just going to see Jesus. Hey, Jesus. What's up? Hey, what's up, Jesus? I'm going to approach him. I'm going to come before him. I'm going to realize he has saved my life, that he holds all things together, that he loves us, he is for us, and he wants to walk with us in this life. And he wants us to remember that it's not just about the here and now. Amen. It's not just about what we're seeing with our eyes today. Something so much deeper, so much better, so much bigger. Listen, if God could open up every single one of our spiritual eyes, all of our spiritual senses, do you know what we would see in this room right now? Oh, Lord. Imagine God's glory. Imagine God's the angels that God has stationed here that are walking with us. Imagine perceiving just some of the things that God, his activity, what he's doing. What if we could perceive and behold the things, all the things that are actually happening in the spirit realm? That would be amazing. That would be amazing, probably overwhelming. There's a reason why all these people fell on their faces and they're super scared of when these angels showed up. I don't think they're just like, you know, hello. They didn't look like those Precious Moments figurines from Christmas, you know, like, no, I think these things were, they were terrified. Their eyes got open and boom, they were freaked out. If our spiritual senses were all open, we would be overwhelmed. But listen, God wants us. He calls us in this deeper place. There's something beautiful about this deeper place. And as I think about beholding, you can't help but think about intimacy. And I heard this pastor say, intimacy is into me you see. Intimacy is into me you see. It's not this, I'm keeping things from you. It's I'm opening up myself for you. I want intimacy. I want closeness. I want to gaze at you. Intimacy and beholding the Lord is about intimacy. It's about connection. And I don't know about all of you, but we all have probably some challenges with intimacy. We've been hurt maybe by parents or leaders or teachers or relationships. Am I right? Listen, we've all gone through some stuff. If you haven't gone through stuff, you're just not old enough yet. But this is life. You get hurt, man. Listen, intimacy is hard. Because it's kind of this exposure of yourself. I'm opening up myself. I'm being vulnerable to somebody. And the risk you run with people is that we get hurt because people are broken. And as we're beholding one another, as we look into each other, as we're acting and trying to be vulnerable, into me you see, somebody steps on our toes or somebody hurts our heart. Somebody does something even abusive, mean or wrong to us, that can cause us to clam up. It can cause us to shut down. And listen, some of that stuff, we lens God in the same way. Some of us carry some significant father wounds in our life. Maybe our dad wasn't around for us. Maybe our dad was not just not around. Maybe he was abusive. Maybe he was quiet or cold or distant. And there's something about when we sing about even you're a good father, something about our Father God, a lot of us are carrying some significant challenges with our natural fathers. And so when we're talking about beholding the Lamb of God, beholding God is challenging for us because we lend some of that. God, are you really safe? What if I open up my heart to you? What if I say, I want intimacy into me, you see, and I want to open up my life, but what if you hurt me? What if you don't show up to that game that I wish you'd show up to, or that performance, or the time that I wanted to talk to you, you weren't there? All of us have brokenness. If you're a human, you have brokenness. I have brokenness. We do not perfectly represent the Father, and people have not represented God the Father to us perfectly. But God says, I don't want that to be a stumbling block. When you behold me, I want you to open up yourself in total vulnerability and say, here I am, Lord. Know me. Again, any of y'all been in love before? Hey, baby. What's up? I love to gaze at Jess. I'm just telling you. I love to look at my wife. And I'm admiring her, and I'm appreciating who she is. And we're connecting in that place of a gaze. I'm examining her. I'm curious about her. I want to know her more. Now, she'll be the first one to tell you, I don't always act that way. Oh, Lord, help me. Zane's like, nope. But I want to. But here's the deal. When we're talking about this gaze, this is these those concepts with the Lord. What does it look like to be in love with the Lord? To have that same intimacy, that gaze. Lord, I want to look into your face. I want to know you. I want you to know me. I want to open up my heart in total vulnerability. Because listen, when we're vulnerable with the Lord, when we behold him, things happen. So what happens when we behold the Lord? Number one, the first thing I would say that happens is you become like what you behold. You become like what you behold. And that can be anything. Listen, I'm going to shoot straight with you. There's some people who behold money. They look at money. They're beholding it. They're looking at it. They always examine it. They spend their time and their effort and their energy trying to get it, transact with it. What does that do? You become like what you behold. Those things become most important to you. There's something about this. What are we going to choose to behold? What are we going to choose to go deeply into? Is it going to be Jesus? Is it going to be something else? Like Gavinsky reminded us last week, to grow in the Lord. He wants us to grow. We grow by beholding. You know, there's something beautiful about when we were all infants. I think that everybody in here was a baby at one time in your life. Pretty sure. But in infants, how do they learn how to do things? Exactly, watching you. They watch their parents. They watch their leaders. How do they learn how to speak? How do they learn how to interact? How do they learn how to do things? They learn by watching their parents. Their parents coach them. We coach our kids. We help them grow. These kids are beholding us. When they're infants, they're beholding us. If you ever look at how curious a little baby is, they are so curious. They're just taking those things in. They're observing. They're watching. And they're making their lives are changing. They start to imitate their parents. Let's take that same principle of how God wants us to be imitators of Christ. The Apostle Paul talked about being imitators of Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. He says, as I'm following the Lord, I want you to follow me. Do what I'm doing because I'm trying to follow him. Follow the leader. Anybody ever play that game when you're a kid? Follow the leader, you know, the leader sticking out their hand, you know, and then they start doing something else. It's the same thing with the Lord. That's what it looks like to behold him. What happens is we start becoming like him. We talked about those disciples, the apostle John, and we have these apostles, these disciples that were following him around. They were learning him. They were imitating him. And actually, they became like him. That's what happens when you become a disciple of Jesus. A follower of Jesus. You're wanting to copy your life, imitate your life after him. we become like what we behold. And when we behold him, we become more like him. And is there anybody here that wants to become more like Jesus? Amen? I know I do. So we become like what we behold. Second thing that happens when we behold the Lord is our circumstances may not change, but our attitude does. When we start beholding the Lord, our circumstances don't always line up. Let's just be honest. I don't know. I think we sell people a false gospel when we say, hey, come to Jesus. He's going to take care of all of your problems. Well, in one sense, yes, that's true. And in another sense, that's not true. At the end of all things, when you pass away, you're not going to worry about, oh, shoot, I was behind on my taxes a little bit. You know, that's not going to be concerning. It's going to be washed out. But in the day-to-day, listen, that might not change. Your financial situation might not change immediately. Now, I believe God wants to give us wisdom and walk alongside of us. And he is a God of provision and miracles and all of that, which is beautiful. But listen, not every circumstance is going to line up in our lives. But when we're beholding Jesus, when we go deeply with Jesus, our attitude and our heart starts to change. And it doesn't matter about the circumstances as much. Again, the Apostle Paul said something really beautiful. And he says this in Philippians 4, 10 through 13. He said, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for what's he say? I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed, I feel well-fed, or hungry, whether living in plenty or want, let's just say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Basically, if people are asking, well, what is the meaning of life? What are we supposed to do? How do you be content in this life? Tell them what Paul told them. Listen, I have learned to be content in all the circumstances because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. If I have Jesus, I got it all. If I'm beholding the Lord, I'm good to go. If I feel that I'm off or there's something that I feel disrupted, I'm not beholding the Lord enough. I'm not spending time with him, gazing into his eyes. And again, this isn't about, hey, everybody in here but me, change your lifestyle, change your heart. I'm talking to myself as well. Because it's all of us. We all get distracted. We all get messed up. We don't take the time to behold the Lord. But things change when we behold the Lord. Our attitude, our heart starts to change toward things. And so if we need to soften up our heart, let's come before the Lord and behold him. The next thing that happens is that when we behold the Lord, it reminds us that life is not just about right now. It gives us an eternal perspective. When we behold the Lord, it gives us an eternal perspective. It reminds us that, listen, I may be going through highs and lows. I may have relationship challenges right now. But God's bigger. I'm tied into something, and this is not the end of the story. And I might die with not a dollar to my name, but if my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, I have everything. I've got it all. This is what he makes available to every single one of us, no matter what your race is, no matter what your financial situation is. It's available to all of us. So when we behold the Lord, we're reminded that, listen, you're taking me up. It's like God wants us to take your vision higher. Said, you're stuck down in the weeds. Everybody know that phrase, I was in the weeds all day. That means you're just doing tasks. You're doing sort of stuff that kind of feels like, you know, like menial tasks. Like, oh my gosh, I'm in the weeds. I'm sending out all this stuff. I'm busy. Listen, he's like, take your vision higher. Remember who I am. Behold the Lord, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. When we behold him, we remember, I'm going to eternity with him. I'm going to eternity with Jesus. Listen, if you love the Lord, you get to go and spend forever with him, face to face, in his presence. Oh my God. That should overwhelm us. That should make us realize, listen, this stuff that I'm facing right now, It sucks. It's hard. Let's just be honest. But it ain't the end of the story. I want to behold the Lord. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says this. If you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Take your vision higher. Take your mentality higher. Allow the Lord to be that place, the person that you're beholding, that you're thinking about, you're going deeply with. This life in the flesh, this ain't it. These bodies are giving away. These bodies are wasting away. And whether you get 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, or 100 years, listen, these bodies aren't created to last forever. These bodies are deteriorating because of sin, but the good news is Jesus has redeemed us. He loves us and he brought us into eternity. So the question is, what happens when we look away, when we don't behold Jesus? So those are some of the good things that happens when we do choose to behold. What happens? I like to think of Peter in the boat. Now in the scriptures, if you're maybe a newer believer, don't know the story, you know, they're walking out or they're out in this boat on the sea. And they see Jesus out there, and he's actually walking on water, and he's calling to Peter, and he says, come out here. So he starts coming, and Peter himself is walking on water, like Jesus. And all of a sudden, he starts getting a little bit afraid. His eyes get taken off the Lord, and he starts sinking. What happens when you take your eyes off of Jesus? You start sinking. If you feel like your life is sinking, your eyes are not on the Lord. Put your eyes back on the Lord. Look into his eyes. Gaze at him. Let him become everything. Turn your face toward him. Because his face is toward you. He is gazing at you. He's the first one to behold us. God actually beholds us as his creation, as his people. He gazes us. He's curious about us. I mean, oh, there's all throughout scriptures, you know, in like Psalm 139, before you, I knew you before you were, while you were knit in your mother's womb. He knit us together. He sees us. His face is for us, and he's looking for us to make eye contact. Have you ever talked to somebody who like actively avoids eye contact? Is that kind of strange? It feels a little bit different. Like they don't want to look you in the eyes. There's an immediate, almost like a distrust of like, oh, what's going on here? Like, how could we, hello? Well, where are we looking? Look me in the eyes, I'm over here. We want to have eye contact. Isn't that interesting? God is wanting to have eye contact with us. Listen, the reason some people don't make eye contact is that intimacy that they get from locking eyes with somebody makes them feel very intimidated or scared. And I'm not downplaying that. If that's anybody that you know or that's you that struggles with that, that's not a knock on you at all. That's an understanding that intimacy, sometimes we have wounds with that. But listen, God is looking to make eye contact with us. There's this amazing Christian psychologist named Dr. Kurt Thompson, and he says this phrase that I just love. And he says that even as infants, it's wired into us this way. He said, every single person is born looking for someone who is looking for them, and it never changes. This idea that all of us are born, we're looking for somebody who is looking for us. Here I am as an infant. I have nothing. I'm totally dependent on somebody else for my survival. Where do I look? And all of a sudden, we look into the eyes of our parents and there's safety that's transacted. There should be. There's security. There's being known and, hey, you're going to be okay. I'm right here. I'm with you. Behold the Lord whose eyes are toward you. Behold the Lord whose face is toward you. He is looking for you. He is looking for eye contact. He is looking for face-to-face contact. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God initiated it and we respond to it. If we could have the worship team come up. I just believe that at this point that God is saying, it's your move. I already moved. I already made the invitation. Now it's your move. It's kind of like when you're playing chess or something like that. Maybe you're playing a game and, okay, hey, it's your turn. It's your move. Well, listen, God has initiated intimacy. He has beheld us. And now he says, behold me. He says, respond to me. What's going to be your response? You're going to treat me casually like, all right, yeah, you know, nice to go and worship you a little bit on the weekend, but it's just too much during my work week. It's too much in my family. I've got too much going on to really spend much time with you, gazing at you, beholding you. God's looking for our response of our hearts. And he's like saying, it's your turn. It's your move. I gave you life. I offered you redemption. I offer you salvation. I offer you myself. He's like, behold the Lamb of God. This is something that's so significant for us. And it's so meaningful for us. And it has, I would say, eternal consequences. We can choose to live every day and just saying, keep putting him off, keep putting him off. And maybe he's saying, come closer. And we say, no, I'm good. I only want you at an arm's distance. I only want to be so close to you. I've got my own stuff. I want to live my own way, do what I want to do, think how I want to think, live how I want to live, how I feel like is right. And pushing him off every day. And I would say that that has eternal consequences. Behold, open your eyes. There's a scripture from Revelation 3:20. A lot of us know this. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on the throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. The invitation is out. It's like, are you going to live your life the way that you want to do? Are you going to keep on pursuing the things that you want to do? Or are you going to go deeper? Are you going to not just stop at seeing Jesus and go deeper into perceiving Jesus, seeking to know Jesus more? And I believe there's this invitation for us today to turn our eyes toward Jesus, turn our face to him and actually try to behold him. And listen, I know some of us have been hurt. Some of us carry pain. Some of us carry intimacy issues. But listen, God is not like a man. God is not like a woman. God is not like a person, a human being. God is God alone. He is perfect in all his ways. And you can come to him regardless if your dad hurt you, if your mom hurt you, if you have something going on in a relationship, and he wants to heal you. He wants to attune to you. He wants to know you, and he wants to be known by you as you seek to behold him. So let's all stand, and we're going to sing this song. This is a song I feel like I remember singing basically my whole life. And Ted, if you can put up the words to this, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. Not just a little bit, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. So let's just prepare our hearts before the Lord. Can we just corporately, like together, collectively gaze upon the Lord and behold him in the beauty of his holiness? Can we turn our attention toward him? Can we open up our hearts and say, God, take me as I am. I don't need to be perfect to come to you. I just need to be open and willing. And as we do, I believe that God will behold us. And he has some special things, I feel like, for us today. Yes, Lord. Lord, we just come before you, God, right now. Father, we're thanking you. We're thanking you for your presence.
Jesus, Jesus.
I just feel like that there may be some of us who are just feeling like sometimes there's a need for like a call and a response. I want to talk about coming to the altar. Sometimes things that we do physically just represent things spiritually. And there's nothing like magical or anything about coming to the altar or responding, but there is something about God is watching us. God is looking for response. And it's not always, it's not everybody. But I do feel like the Lord wants to open up this altar space to come before him. And maybe there's something that God is just saying, come and just behold me. You've been overwhelmed by everything else. Be overwhelmed by me. Maybe seeing that I know the hurt, I know the pain that you've been through, and I know the healing that needs to happen. Come before me. Maybe that looks like, God, I can't get free from this thing I've been struggling with. I feel like I've been fighting for so long and it just keeps coming back and I keep letting it back in and I don't know how to get set free. God just says, come and behold me. Let me do what you can't do. You can't do it yourself. We can't do this stuff ourselves. We need the Lord. Come and take the heaviness that you feel. And so I want to open up this altar. If that's you, if you feel like that God just wants you to respond and you feel like you want to come forward, just come forward. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. Don't worry about the person on your left or your right. Just encourage you, if God wants you to respond to him, you feel an urging. Sometimes our heart starts beating a little faster. Sometimes we just feel like we have a knowing and we're knowing, I'm supposed to respond to something. Come and respond. So just want to open that up and just open up this altar for ministry time. And we may have, one of our leaders may come and pray with you. Maybe not, but just want to open that up. Just let's sing this another couple times and let's just respond to the Lord. He is worthy of our beholding. Let's behold the Lord together.